Psalm 19, verse 4. Psalm 19, verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoice it as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Well, this psalm, the Apostle Paul refers to it in Romans, and he uses it to bring man's responsibility before him in connection with the thing that he sees in creation. But I believe there's also in here for us a secret from the heart of God for us who know the Lord Jesus. We had that in our first hymn, when like a tent to dwell in, he spread the heavens abroad. I would ask you, dear ones, what is the most glorious object God has placed in this creation? You would have to say, from man's perspective, that is the sun. The S-U-N. When you look at our universe, it's true that the scientists, they look up in the heavens, and our brother was speaking yesterday of all these galaxies and the vastness of it all. It's just beyond our minds really to take it in. And scientists say some stars are so much brighter than the sun. They're probably right. But if you just use the senses that God has given you to watch his creation, you'll find that the most glorious object that you can see in the heavens is the sun. And when the sun appears, all the other heavenly bodies disappear, save the moon. It becomes almost transparent because of the glory of the sun. If you look at our universe, the small universe we live in, the solar system, all these planets gravitate around the sun. He is the center of our small universe, we might say. And I believe the sun in this creation has been given to us to be a picture of the sun, S-O-N, who is, I believe, the object of God's heart in making this universe. He made this universe, this physical universe, in its vastness for the purpose of manifesting the glory of one person, his beloved Son. So it says here in the last part of verse 4, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. In French, it says there, he made a tent. This universe that you watch, that starry sky that you watch at night. Think of it as like sometimes you can lay in a tent during the summer in daylight. You can see the little holes there in the tissue there. If you can't see them, you'll feel them when it rains. But these little stars up there, they're there to speak of the glory of God. But if you think of them just as being a tent, God made this universe for one purpose, to manifest a person, which is the Lord Jesus. That very one that he's called you and me now to know. Our brother spoke about Joseph. You can go back to Genesis there. And Joseph, in one of his dreams, you know, a type of the Lord Jesus, who had he bowing before him? He had the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing before him. And you can see, well, the authorities of the world in that, fine. But when you compare the Lord Jesus Christ to Joseph, you say the sun itself disappears in glory before the glory of the sun. You notice we had that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the beginning of this universe, verse 4, where God speaks the first time, God said, let there be light. So light is introduced. And you read down to the fourth day, then the sun, the moon, and the stars are introduced. There is light here. God himself, his glory shining forth. And yet, these other celestial bodies are just accessories brought in later. You read in Revelation chapter 21. When the Lord himself reigns on the earth, he says, the city doesn't even need the sun anymore. Because the Lamb is the lamp thereof. The Lord Jesus himself is there. The glory of God. Don't need the sun anymore. Brother was talking about weddings. Verse 5 of Psalm 19. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. When the Lord Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, appears, we will appear in glory with him. His bride, the one that he redeemed with his precious blood. Every eye shall see him. Those that pierced him. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. All things are naked before him with whom we have to do. And when he comes, he's going to establish his reign of righteousness. Things are going to be according to how he wants them. The Apostle Paul, when he saw the Lord Jesus in glory on the way to Damascus, he says, from one account to the other, it gets brighter, and he says, a light brighter than the sun. When the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the Lord appear in glory, his face shone like the sun. You know, God is a spirit. You can't see his spirit. The sun is a physical object. Scientists will tell you how far it is, and maybe measure the heat thereof. And here is one who is the expression of the glory of God in a physical body that you can touch. Touch me. A spirit hath no flesh and bones, as ye see that I have. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're given to know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear ones, these things, they're beyond me. Who can enter into these things? Our brother yesterday was talking to us about the vastness of the universe that God made, and that he would be preoccupied with little specks of dust like we are. But God is so great, he has revealed to these specks of dust that we are the secret object of his heart, the Lord Jesus. And you and I this morning, dear ones, we were here in the presence of the Lord of glory himself, in the presence of God himself. No silver, gold, no fine apparel, no temple to catch your eye. Nothing to disturb your soul, I trust. But a loaf of bread on a table and a cup of wine. Yet, dear ones, to be brought by the Spirit of God in fellowship with the Father and the Son. They went both of them together. We had that this morning. And now they're bringing us along, dear ones. They're bringing us along. Are you enjoying that? Is that affecting you, dear ones? It's a wonderful privilege and truth to know, to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't let that dwell only in your mind. Don't think of other believers with a sense of pride. Look the other way. Look to the privilege and to what God has brought you into the sweetness and the depth of fellowship with His thoughts. The Lord Jesus, what a delight to His heart to have you and me as He leads the worship to the Father. He came to manifest the Father, and here these ones, redeemed by His precious blood, have been brought into the enjoyment of God as their Father. And we cry, Abba, Father. And we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we worship the Lord Jesus too, in fellowship with the heart of the Father, whose heart is filled with delight as He considers Him. So, dear ones, just a thought in connection with this psalm and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we could compare it to the Son. And that these thoughts might just thrill our hearts and then affect us. Affect us to say, Lord Jesus, what a privilege Thou hast given us to know Thee as our Savior and to be brought into, by Thy Spirit, by Thy Word, into this sweet fellowship of glory beyond our understanding. And we can just bow our heads and worship and enjoy. And it's going to be like that for eternity, dear ones, to enjoy the fullness of the presence of God, of His glory, all manifest to us in one person. The one who fills all in all, yet manifest to you and me in a man. A man you and I are going to see face to face. We're going to hear His voice and enjoy Him forever.